Well, we have to march on with these questions. The next question is, do the microorganisms become dormant in the soil when conditions are not right? There's a series of questions. Can we have too many in the soil? Will the bacteria break down other particles in the soil apart from organic matter? I think we covered the last one, that they actually can break down other things apart from organic matter. So let's look at the first two questions. Do the microorganisms become dormant in the soil when conditions are not right? And can we have too many in the soil? Who'd like to answer that?
I'll have a quick go at that. I think they do, and the trick to getting them to become alive again is to have sufficient or breaking down or rotting humus or organic matter in the soil. So, and once again, it becomes a time issue. If you just wait for the natural processes and don't plough up your soil and allow the root exudates to accumulate in the soil, you will eventually get a situation where the microbes become alive again. But by adding the compost tea, you are greatly speeding up that process, which you get a double whammy. Not only do you apply new microbes, but you also awaken the ones that are in the ground. So it's a way of speeding up the process, or that's the way I see it. What do you think, Gerhard?
Yeah, I agree with you, Dave. And in fact, the timing is the essence here as well. We've got to remember that the only way that the microorganisms can get their food, and you mentioned that they've got to have good levels of organic matter, well, in a paddock situation, the only way that you're going to get organic matter is to allow the plant to photosynthesize and then build its root mass up, but also build up its trash layers that need to then work from the top of the soil so that the aerobic microorganisms start to work down. They do become dormant if the conditions are not right. Some of the microorganisms will create spores. Some of them will create cysts. Can we have too many in the soil? The soil will self-regulate. All those microorganisms need to get external energy from somewhere, and therefore those root exudates will need to provide that energy through the photosynthesis of the plant. And when that starts to shut down, then the food supply gets closed in a bit, and therefore the microbiological activity in the soil reduces as well. That's why it's coincidence, I think, maybe not, that in the autumn time and in the springtime we get our most prolific growth because we've got the right moisture level, we've got the right temperatures, and the plants are getting their solar panels to grow vigorously before the onset of winter and before summer. And therefore, the microorganisms are supporting that and also feeding off that at the same time.
Now, I've got a question here, which is from Alan Wood, because our previous questions I couldn't work out, couldn't distinguish who they're from. They just came in en masse. And this question is, to obtain higher Brix readings, we need to mobilise the stored tea and calcium in our soil. How do we achieve this quickly with compost tea? Well, I think we somewhat answered that question. But Gerhard, you might like to answer that question, seeing it is directed to you.
Yeah, we have already answered the question, but the high Brix readings really are telling us whether the plant's been able to take up phosphorus or calcium out of the soil, and really your best mechanism for that to take place is the release of the reserve nutrients, and that's where the microbes will start to assist in that. You always have your soluble component as well that the plants will be able to take up directly. But the compost tea will make sure that you're getting a broader range of microorganisms there and promoting the ones that are already there to become more active and provide the nutrients that the plant needs. Over to you, David.
Yeah, another question here is, Gerhard, what was that? Now, another question here, Gerhard, from Alan. Has Gerhard used good fungal-dominated tea to manage blackberries? We also have a considerable area of Chilean needle grass, size of a tennis court, on the property. It has been slashed. Will it it will be hoed in the near future and sprayed with compost tea. Can we do anything else? Now, it's asking two questions. One is about, is there a particular brew for blackberries, and how does he manage his already processed Chilean needle grass?
All right. Now, as far as the blackberries goes, they're a tough one, but if you do have high fungal levels, and they need to be fairly high fungal levels, then the blackberries will be reduced. They're a difficult one to manage because of the nature of the deep-rootedness as well. Got to remember that a soil, just like with our nutrients and also with our organic matter, goes through different profiles, and the roots of the blackberries are very deep, which is why they were introduced into Australia in the first place to try and help contain some erosion. So you will get a measure of control. The vigor will be reduced with the blackberries if you can start using more fungal teas, and I don't know much about the Chilean needle grass. I can only assume that the same thing would apply there, that you could bring it more fungal because any of the grasses like to have more bacterial dominance in the soil. And yes, if he uses a compost tea, as long as it's clear that it is a fungally dominant tea, you will get a measure of control, but not eradication. Anything that you'd like to add, David, please?
Yeah, no, sorry, I can't add anything to contribute to that. I don't have any knowledge of the compost teas being useful for blackberries or the other plant I haven't heard of. Sorry.
Now, this is a fairly good question. Anything a novice should know, and I'd rephrase it to, where would a novice start? So that's a question for both of us, both of you people. So, David, you might like to have to talk about where would a novice start, or is there anything a novice should know? A novice should know a lot, but
I would be seeking out someone in my own area who's already doing this stuff and get into their brain. And the other thing, I'd be going to the Farming Secrets Library, because there's any amount of stuff from. So I guess the Farming Secrets Library is the next best to talking to people live, because they're videoing people live. But the beauty of talking to a person, you can then ask questions or clarify things. But the information coming out of Farming Secrets is more comprehensive than buying 10 or 20 books that all sort of cover various aspects of it. Over.
Mm.
David, thank you very much for that compliment. Now, Gerhard, how would you take the fear out of some farmer wanting to start, or where would he start?
Well, like David, I totally agree that, Farming Secrets certainly offers an ongoing mechanism by which growers or anyone that's managing soil can start to engage people who are already doing it, and there's online material available, which is always being updated as well. But I guess the simplest thing is to actually start to walk around the paddocks and dig up the soil so you can see what you're working at, and then to begin to get an understanding of how the soil functions and how the plants are relating to that, and start to think holistically that we need the soil to be right and the plants to be right, so that the animals can be right and that we can be right and that we can have health right through the whole system. Understanding that there's more to it than just chemistry alone, which is what has been the drive over the last 4 or 5 decades. That the green revolution really does need to turn dark green, and we need to engage all the microorganisms that we can to make that whole system work. So, not to be daunted, it is a bit more complicated than what's made out to be, but it's not that difficult if you relate it to your own body and how your own body works. And we all have chemistry about us, we all have a physical structure about us, and we all have microbiology about us, either in our intestinal system or on our skin or in our hair, and they're all going to be a bit different, and they're all playing a role to make sure that we remain healthy, so the soil is much the same.